Hello, good evening. It's Friday, and thank you for joining me on the 22nd episode in the Detour series. Today, allow me to take you back in time while being firmly rooted in the present. I'm Tharana Seth, Navigator-in-Chief and Co-Founder at Encompass Experiences. We're a conscious travel group that specializes in curating immersive journeys within India and all across the world. In the Detour series, I have been talking with some amazing people, mavericks from different walks of life, conscious thought leaders, and others, movers and shakers about their life journeys. So today's guest is the fabulous Mrinalika Banjdeo of the Mayur Banj family, a Bohemian princess, director of the Bulgaria Palace, her 200-year-old ancestral home. She's passionate about wellness, ecotourism, and sustainability. And we're going to talk about her journey and her family legacy and what it means to be a modern day royal. So let me bring Mrinalika on. She's here. Hi, Mrinalika. All right. Just waiting for Mrinalika to hop on. All right, just a moment. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mrinalika, how are you doing?
I'm very...
Can you hear me?
Hey. Sorry, there. Just a second. I'm just trying to figure out a way that... Can you hear and see me clearly now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Perfect.
How's everything?
All well. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm just recovering
excellent.
From a really bad cold. So please don't mind my nasal voice.
Oh, no.
That's about
no.
it.
But thank you for doing this. You haven't been unwell. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
So, Mrinalika, walk us through your personal journey, where you grew up, your early years, your education in like three different countries, your stint in New York. Walk us through it all.
Okay. So, hi, everyone. I'm Mrinalika Banjdeo, and I was born and raised in Calcutta. So, I'm a completely East, a girl from the East of India. So, I was born and raised in Calcutta. And from there onwards, I went to Singapore for, you know, grade 11 and 12. And then, of course, went to university in America. So I was studying in the University of Virginia. I studied sociology and business management. And after doing all of that, and also, of course, working in New York in a fashion and fragrance company, I came back to India in 2015. So after I came back to India, I started working on my ancestral home. So I have a ancestral house in Mayur Banj, which is located in Orissa. And that's when I basically decided that I wanted to convert that into a boutique property, a homestay. And I feel like, so I guess all the knowledge and the experience that I'd gained through my education, through my exposure, through my travels, pretty much brought me back to my roots, which is in Mayur Banj, and got me pretty much started on restoring and renovating a 200-year-old ancestral home I call the Bulgaria Palace.
Amazing. So you obviously restored it and now it's open to guests. Is that right? And
correct.
How many years has it been?
So we've actually not even completed an entire year. It's very unfortunate. So the entire process, the renovation and restoration finished in 2019. And then later in the year of 2019, so around September, we opened it up. And of course, then we were hit with the pandemic in March 2020.
Yeah.
And then we officially opened again in October 2020. So we've been running for, I don't even have an entire year that we've been running for. So the frame of reference for comparing, you know, a good year, bad year is so hard for us at this point. So
right.
We're fairly new. We recently opened up and now we are fully functional once again. So let's see how it all goes.
I'm sure it'll be fantastic. And once, you know, travel is slowly reviving, especially I think over this period, so many Indians have, you know, we've actually discovered that there's so much to see within our country, you know, and that's,
absolutely.
I mean, and the Bulgaria Palace is one such place, which is like just, I think, waiting to be discovered and, you know, experienced. So we look forward to that. So, Mrinalika, what is it to be a royal in today's day and age? Tell us, as a young royal and as a custodian of your family's legacy, do you feel responsible to preserve the heritage of Mayurbhanj? And why is it so important to you personally?
I mean, honestly, growing up, I never really felt any kind of like pressure, because that's the way our parents grew us up. So I am the middle child of three daughters and basically three sisters. And I mean, my parents really never like instilled any kind of like pressure upon any of us. We were pretty much free to do whatever we wanted to do. But they did have this motto, which was to really work hard and to be a little ambitious, as well as, you know, education played a really big important role in all our lives because of our parents. So there was, you know, studies was important, education was important, as well as extracurricular activities. And the creating a balance for the growth of the individual was very important. So these are some roles which are very important as much as I can remember, for both my parents. And so growing up that way, I never really felt any kind of pressure, never really felt like overburdened with this idea that I was from a royal family. I didn't even know what that meant, to be honest, when we were growing up. I lived in a palace. It's called the Bilgaria Palace, but that was my house. I've literally been there all my life. It was my grandparents' house. So I never really thought of it any differently than that. It's just a house. It looks big, yes, but that's pretty much it. Over the years, and of course, you know, I feel like our education, our travels, the leaving India and going abroad played an important role in understanding the role of my family, understanding the role and the duties and responsibilities that come from such rich legacy and heritage, you know, belonging to a royal family. What does that mean? And I feel like one of the first instances I had a direct encounter with that is when my younger sister was chosen to attend a debutante ball in Paris amongst all the European cavalry. So I feel like that was the first instance of us actually understanding what that actually meant, you know, because it's right now, if you talk about like royalty or princesses, princes, it doesn't really have that kind of like impact as it used to have because of the history that India has gone through. In that instance, I would say that it's only now that you realize that now that I've come back and, you know, you stay in Mayurbhanj, you start connecting with people, you start, trying to create social impact in communities and villages, you start understanding and hearing stories about the great that your ancestors have done. Because today, royalty is not just a tagline. So royalty, the word royalty coming from a blue-blooded family, it's just not a tagline. It's the kind of work that has been put in, that someone has recognized you to be royalty. So it's the actions, it's the work, it's work that you have probably done or your ancestors mainly have done for you to be, you know, given that title. It doesn't come easy. And it doesn't mean that if you, you know, it's continuous work. It's continuously working with communities because they are the ones who recognize this title for you. They are the ones who really understand the history. They understand, like, you know, maybe most of my ancestors had done a lot. They'd granted a lot of land to NGOs. They had, started livelihood for a lot of handicraft villages. That's how you are kind of remembered. That's how your family gets that kind of recognition. And that's the kind of impact that your ancestors have made. So I just felt like that's when you realize that that's also your responsibility to do, to continue that legacy. Legacy is something that's continued only through the work that you're going to do with communities. It's not about you know, how many rooms you're going to build in a palace. That's got nothing to do with legacy. It's not going to be about, how many more rooms, how many more guests. It's none of that. It's about how you want to be remembered by present generations in the near future.
Absolutely. And like you rightly said, it's not just so superficial. It really goes down to the level of, interacting and, giving back to the community. And working with the people and, you know, taking them all alongside with you. So I think that's what that's the legacy, like you said, the real legacy. So also, Manalika, of course, Bulgaria Palace is a regal homestay, and you've done a fabulous job, you and your sister, to revive it, and now it's open to guests. It's also put it on, you know, Odisha on the global map of responsible tourism. How have you kickstarted this initiative in ecotourism?
So I mean, I feel like in any kind of initiative where you want a state to develop or prosper or growth, there has to be a private-public partnership. So it means that, you know, as an individual, I have this property, I'm a private person, but at the same time, I need the assistance of the government to be able to take this forward. For instance, the way that we've done it is that we've actually been able to tie up with a lot of NGOs through the government's help, which are all government-run NGOs, but they have helped us connect with those artisans, those handicraft villages, those handicraft communities, so that we are able to, you know, establish a connection. So, for example, I'm going to give you just two examples. There is a dying art form called chow dance. Chow dance is something which was patronized by one of my ancestors. So all the sequences have actually been taught and performed by under the patronage of my ancestors. Over the years, the sequences have been lost either in translation or it was all written in, like, you know, handwritten in a book and the book has got spoiled. So for various reasons, most of the sequences have got lost. The ones that are remaining, there's an NGO which has been set up, which is, of course, supported by also, it was an initiative taken by one of our district collectors. And it's something that, you know, helped us also. Now, every time a guest enters Belgaria, they get to see the chow performance in the evening. Yeah. So, you know, we've also, as a private body, have been able to engage with the local community and have been able to have a positive impact on the community by working with such NGOs. Another example would be, you know, we have these handicraft villages. So Sabai grass is a grass which grows very readily in Mayurbhanj. And this grass can be cultivated to make different kinds of handicrafts. Like we have, you can make trays, table mats, coasters, bags. And it's something similar to, you know, straw. Everyone's very well aware of, like, the straw bags, which are very famous now. You know, they're sustainable, they're biodegradable, they are made of natural fibers. So Sabai grass in the same way has the same versatility. And it's also believed that one of my ancestors brought this grass from Madagascar because the versatility is very same, is very similar to the, you know, the grass that grows in Africa. And the women actually make those beautiful baskets out of them. Mm-hmm. So the similar kind of work is also being done in Mayurbhanj. And the government body has set up an entire warehouse for these ladies. It's a completely women-led organization under the umbrella of the government. And now we've partnered with them so that guests get to see the entire village. They get to see the kind of work in the warehouse and they can purchase directly from the artists themselves. So, you know, these are small ways that where it's really important to, also give thanks to the government for being able to take that initiative. Because if they hadn't, you know, helped us allocate these pockets, maybe we wouldn't have gone into these villages, which are pretty way out. Some of them are not even, you know, they don't even have a road which kind of connects them to towns. So they're really way out into, and if you've seen the, you know, terrain of Orissa, especially Mayurbhanj, it's completely like undulated. Like you have hills and waterfalls and paddy fields. And some of the villages are not even very accessible by road or car. So it's really important for, you know, accessibility to come in so that even people, individuals are able to go into these villages to get an insight into the kind of lives they lead, into the kind of, like, you know, their source of livelihood. So it's very interesting. So these are, I would say, some of the ways that we've actually, you know, and this is something that my sister and I always have at the back of our minds, and it's on top priority. So when Belgaria started, the number one thing was that we started finding out ways that we could have a positive impact on the community. Mm-hmm. Because without community initiative, without initiatives like this, Bulgaria was not going to be put on the global map.
It's absolutely amazing, you know, what you and your sister are doing. And like you said, like, it's so important, you know, to have this public-private kind of partnership. And yours is like a shining example of how, you can really get stuff done. And, most sort of, young entrepreneurs out there kind of shy away from like a government association for all the baggage that we have when it comes to the government and the workings of the government. I think it's really inspiring to hear what you have managed to achieve. So kudos for that. It just sounds amazing.
Thank you.
So, and of course, you as a family, you believe in giving back. Is some of this work through, is that what you do through the Mayur Panj Foundation? Tell us more about that.
Correct. So the Mayur Panj Foundation was an initiative started by my sister and my mother predominantly. And they've been actually working with allocating different kinds of artists and having artist exhibitions, artist residencies. So these are different ways that they've been attributing to it. And then they've also set up like a little store, a boutique store in the property itself. So, through the pandemic, a lot of guests were not comfortable with going to the villages. A lot of villages were shut down because of the COVID situation. So now we keep some of the products of these different artisans in the, boutique store. So people have access into just getting an insight of what that village would look like or what are the kind of handicrafts that they are selling. And we also have the artist residencies, which happen about twice or thrice a year. So the first one was actually done with a photographer from Bareilly. And she actually came down to do four different workshops. So the way it works is that the individual produces a piece of art for herself, which is maybe for going into her own portfolio or any kind of inspiration that she wants to draw in. And the second part is that it has to be beneficial to Belgaria or the community around us. So the way we partnered with the photographer was that we actually asked her to do four different photography workshops with the local people. And these were actually local boys from Baripada town who are actually studying very mainstream subjects. Like, they want to get into engineering or doctorate or want to become like a scientist. But they were interested in photography as a passion, but just never knew or never understood how to create money out of it. So for a photographer who's actually predominantly makes money through photographs, it was really interesting for her to explain how there's an entire world opened up for freelancers, for artists, which back then was unheard of. So, I understand where the local boys' parents come from. Because, a couple of years ago, who was a freelancer? Where would you make, an artist could not just make money.
Sure.
You have to have these mainstream jobs, and then that's how you got your brackets into what kind of money that you're actually going to make. So I feel like we have different options. It's also a very ongoing conversation which we have with the artist as well as my sister, just to understand the kind of the scope of work as well as how long the duration of stay. So these are things that my sister and the artist then speak to figure it out. And then, of course, it can extend from anything between 14 days to 1 month. It depends.
Fantastic. So this C here says, having seen it firsthand, I've loved the Bulgaria experience. So there you've got some, some fans.
Hi, Dipsy. I know. She has been here. It's been amazing.
So that just sounds incredible. So you're also very passionate about wellness, right? And you're a certified yoga instructor
Correct.
As well. Tell us about your journey as a wellness entrepreneur. What are you up to?
So I feel like when you're born into
you wear many hats, so that's why I have so many questions.
I know.
So
when you're born into a royal family, when you're born into a family like mine, when you have a lot going on, there has to be something which gives you balance. There has to be something which keeps you sane and prevents you from tipping over. Yoga is my anchor. It's my go-to. It's my go-to when I feel down. It's my go-to when I feel overwhelmed. It's my go-to when I need mental clarity. It's my time. It's just for me. I don't share that space with anyone else. And I love that. So I feel like something which started off as just being, I was practicing yoga in studios throughout my college days, as well as, when I was working in New York. But it was not the same because it wasn't my own self-practice. I was going to a studio. A teacher would be teaching us. And then later I actually got my teacher training just to have my own private experience on the mat, which I did not want to share with anyone, which I do not share with anyone. That's my time. And sometimes you just need that to get back into your own skin, to just, feel a little more anchored and grounded. because of the kind of lives that we're all living with the technology taking over. Sometimes you just require something which will just deeply ground you. And yoga for me becomes that experience.
How lovely. We all need that. We all need to be centered and, you know, from time to time. And also, you know, this entire kind of last year has kind of showed us, like, being living through a pandemic, like how it's so important to be like, to live in the moment and stay in the moment and stay centered. And it's amazing that you have that practice.
Right. And I really feel like yoga, I mean, I started Bilgaria as a project with the restoration and renovation when I was only 23. So I don't, like, now when I think about it, I mean, I'm 13. 7 years ago, I spent my good 20s restoring and renovating a project. And I was like, oh my God, at 23.
I lost your voice. We lost you. The sound. Can you hear me? We lost you. 1 second. Can you hear me though? I can't hear you. Can you guys hear us? Huh, what happened here? Yeah, yes. Brinalika, do you wanna hop off and then I'll add you back on? Yeah, I think we just lost the sound. Brinalika will be back with us in a moment. I'm just gonna try and add her back now. All right. So she'll be back in a moment. We were chatting with Brinalika about her journey as a wellness entrepreneur. She wears so many different hats. So we were just talking about her restoration work and Bilgaria Palace, her family ancestral home, her 200-year-old family ancestral home that they've opened for the guests now. And we're just talking about, oh, okay. I did add her. All right, let's try one more time. Yeah, I added you already. It says waiting. Oh, there you are.
Hi.
Perfect.
Am I
perfect.
Audible now?
We can, yes, you're audible.
Okay,
now.
Okay. All right, great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So we were talking about your journey as a wellness entrepreneur and you were talking about yoga, how it kind of anchors.
Right,
you.
And I just feel like, oh, as I was saying, so I was only 23 years old when I actually, you know, wanted to restore the property and it was a little bit of a struggle convincing my parents at 23 that I wanted to do this because they were like, oh, it's going to be it's a big task. And I mean, are you sure you want to do this? There has to be commitment involved. There has to be consistency. And I was like, no, I really want to do this. And I feel like I took that risk and I actually, I think that push came in because of yoga. I feel like I had that clarity in me that I really wanted to do this. And I am an executioner. I'm not an ideator. I'm more of an executioner. So if I say I want to do something, I am headstrong
I
doing
that.
It. So I feel like these are a couple of things which actually helped me. And yoga, I feel like definitely helped me in just giving me clarity. And, you know, sometimes when you do feel a little bit stuck or stagnant, it used to give me that little bit of that inner voice, you know, helping me out anytime that I did feel a little stagnated.
Fantastic. So do you also, I believe you also put together some fantastic retreats all over
yes.
the world?
Yes, so I've done a couple of retreats. I've been hosting retreats now for the past 2 years. To one of them, I was actually invited into being the yoga instructor and we went to Bali. And then two of them I actually hosted in Bulgaria itself.
Oh, lovely, lovely. We hope to come because we at Encompass Experiences, we put together a lot of wellness retreats as well. So I'm going to talk about it to you offline. Because
no, definitely. Because now that, of course, last year was like everything was up in the air. I feel like last year, 2020 didn't really count. But now 2021, I feel like a lot of people require it. And a lot of people have actually been messaging me to put in, create an itinerary for a wellness retreat. So I'm happy to like chat about it and see what comes out of it for sure.
That'll be amazing. So what have you been some of your biggest learnings, you know, at a personal level, especially over the last 1 year or even in the last 10 years that you've actively been working?
Well, I just feel like I've always like been a very, I feel like I'm a hard worker. So I'm very consistent with the kind of work that I put in, and I'm not a person like I don't try to take shortcuts in life. I'm not that person at all. Like I will take that hard route and I will see it through. And I'm also not a person who likes to talk a lot of things. I'm an executioner, so I will put my mind into that one thing and then do it, take it from start to finish. And that's the kind of person that I have come to be, and that's the kind of like work ethic that I have. So it's not something it's not, if you were working with me or if you have worked with me in the past, you'd know this. Like I wouldn't be able to just give you ideas and then leave you with it. Like I will be like, okay, we're gonna do this one idea and we will see it from start to finish. And even if like, things come up or obstacles come up, it's fine. I like to see things through because that entire journey from start to finish, it teaches you so much that it actually like helps you even grow and evolve. And sometimes when you do reach a point where you're just like, oh, you think you're stuck in crossroads, it's really important to, just kind of like take a step back and just see like why you're there and try to resolve the issue rather than being like, oh, this is not working and I'm just gonna switch and 360 degrees and do something else now.
I
You know,
love
so I
that.
feel like it's
Thank
really important to whatever you set your mind to, like give it time, have patience. I have a lot of patience. Sometimes it goes a bit, of course, astray because it's just human. At human levels, yes, it sometimes happens. Like, but I would say like have patience, learn to see things through, and just because something is not working, like don't just drop the idea and hop on. Like give it some time, think about it. Sometimes we're just so impatient and we want results so fast that we forget to A, enjoy the process, and B, we're
Absolutely.
always stuck in the end result. But
Right,
we're not
right.
even seeing it through properly. We're not even enjoying the process. So in more than it's there's a more likelihood that you probably are not going to enjoy it towards the end either.
Absolutely. And so rightly said, a lot of times we're just, most of us just have our eyes on the prize and nobody really kind of invests in the process. And that's so important. And I mean, I absolutely love that, and I believe in that myself. Like it's all about the process, and you kind of have to stick to your gun and go, keep going on and day by day. And I mean, obviously, you will achieve, and what you achieve is kind of like the byproduct of the process rather than just
Correct,
the whole
correct,
aim.
correct.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So you'll probably agree when I say we're nothing but the sum total of our experiences. So I want to know, what kind of experiences do you seek personally to like feel more of alive? Whether it's travel or, what is it that kind of you look forward to?
It's definitely travel, and it's definitely like my happy go-to place anywhere, if it's outside, if like anywhere in the world would be Bali. If I had any chance, that's where I would pack my bags and go to. So maybe it's my
Amazing.
safe haven. Maybe now that's become my comfort zone, whatever I can call it. But it's a place that I love going back. And I feel like in 2018 and 2019, I went back 3 times in a year, which is why in
Wow.
2020, with the pandemic, I didn't get a chance to go. But it's a place that I actually feel like I like to go there, and I stay there for a good month. So it's my time to rejuvenate. It's my time to just come back into my own self. I also do a lot of yoga there. Sometimes I go for my teacher training programs. So it's a combination of things that I like to do there, but it's a place that I absolutely love going.
So where are you usually based, in Ubud?
Ubud.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's absolutely amazing. And it has just transformed in the last 10 years or so.
I
From, it
know.
used to be the small kind of place where one would go to scout for, scouting for art. And now it's become this hub of like a wellness hub and so many retreats. And in fact, we're planning one later this year as well. And I'll let you know about that as well.
No, definitely. Please keep me in the loop. I mean, if it's Bali, I'm all in. I'm letting you know from now. Like that is my go-to. Anyone like that's my where I also hosted my first retreat outside India, and they were like, "It's Bali," and I was like, "I'm not going to look at my calendar. I'm telling you, I'm in."
We all love Bali. So besides Bali, like where would you travel if you say if you could hop on a plane right now and go anywhere in the world besides Bali, where would you go?
That's a tricky one. I mean, if I did have to, I really wouldn't mind. I've been really wanting to go to be honest, Kashmir. Srinagar, Jammu Kashmir. It's
Oh,
been on my
yes.
mind for a really long time. It's just that it's so far sometimes that I'm like, oh, I have to like get onto this flight. I'm in Mayurbhanj. I have to
Yeah.
drive 4 hours to go to the
Okay.
nearest airport and then travel
Okay.
from there. So
Sure.
that's definitely on my mind. And recently, one of my relatives have actually opened up their place called Karan Mahal. So I'm really excited to go there. And it's always been in my mind. It's been on my mind for 2 years now. So
Amazing.
that is definitely my next go-to.
Do you ski? Because right now the ski season is
Yes, I
up.
do. Yes.
Amazing. Yeah, so that's something even I'm looking forward to doing. It's just like for the last year and a half, there's just one thing after the next, but now I can feel it. 2021 is going to be the year I'm going to make it up there. So before I let you go, Manalika, thank you so much for your time. What's
Absolutely.
next? What are your future plans?
Well, at this point, I had a lot of plans in 2020, and then I realized, like, wow, Monalika, a pandemic can hit you and your plans will be nothing because at the end of 2020, you still had those same plans. So now I'm like, okay, one step back. We're not looking at plans. We are going one step at a time. We're going to be enjoying the process. I am also, we're going to be working with different kinds of like, groups. I'm going to be creating a lot of itineraries. My sister and I want to create a bunch of itineraries for different kinds of adventures, like travel. Experiential travels like yoga retreats. We want to do one with like maybe a Sufi festival. We want to do one which is just for like the adventurous people, like the trekkers. Do
Love that.
these like itineraries for Bulgaria. And so last year during the pandemic, my sister and I launched this brand called Hasa Atelier, which is basically everything which is found in Mayurbhanj, which is again handicrafts. So these are all like local artists and artisans who are super skilled, a lot of craftsmanship there. And we've been basically creating our own brand where we've been merging a lot of these Savai products that I talked of with a metal casting technique called Dokra. So we've been combining them and we just launched, last year. But we want to kind of also work a little bit more on the brand because last year, of course, with the pandemic and just everything being up in the air, there was a little bit of like, a little bit of a slowness. But we want to pick that up again and pick up the pace for the brand for sure.
Amazing. Look forward to that. And thank you. And we at Encompass love that Brigadier Palace offers such a unique and authentic heritage experience. And for everyone tuned in, traveling for heritage is like a big part of responsible tourism. And we should all do our bit to support heritage properties and immerse ourselves in the incredible history, arts, cuisine, music of our amazing country. And there's so much at home to explore, which is like
Right.
absolutely incredible, right? So thank you, Manalika, and
Thank you
wish
so
you the
much,
very
Tarana.
best.
This was beautiful and lovely, and it was such a nice, like having such a nice conversation with you. We're definitely going to be looking at wellness retreats, and I'm going to speak to you about that very soon.
Done. Look
All
forward to that. Thank you, and
right.
feel better.
Thank
Feel
you.
better.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Bye
Hope to
bye.
see you soon. Bye. All right, guys, so that was Mrinalika, and we had a fantastic and insightful conversation, and we spoke a bit about wellness, and speaking of which, Encompass has curated a 3-day mindfulness retreat in Kasauli as we speak. In fact, it's absolutely gorgeous right now. It snowed yesterday, and I just got some videos from a few friends who are up there, and it's absolutely surreal. So the dates are 18th through the 21st of February, led by a meditation expert, Mala Barua. We will be immersing ourselves in a host of activities from mountain gazing, mindful eating, trekking, yoga, vision boarding. I mean, it is a new year, 2021, so better, what a better, best, it's a best start to the year to have a vision board 2021. So we'll be working on that. Of course, it'll all be done with keeping in mind all the safety protocols. They're all being carefully followed. We have the last few spots still left, and if you are interested, do get in touch with us sooner than later, because I think we'll be closing it in the next 24 hours. So look forward to hearing from you, and thank you so much for joining in, and we shall see you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.